Today is October 23rd, 2019. This is episode number 523 of the Apple Context Machine. That's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, and insert title here. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot me a note at macobserver.com/context machine. And boom, it's Charlotte. You now have a jingle.
Oh, I get a jingle. Thanks. I've always wanted a jingle.
Actually, I think I might get sued for that one. So I'll make you a different jingle.
Thanks.
Charlotte Exciting. Henry, thanks for joining us. Thanks for having me back.
Excited to be back on ACM.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be good. And we're going to talk about some Apple TV Plus today.
It's coming, Brian. Apple TV Plus is here. Are you excited?
It's not here. It's got another week.
Well, it's about to be here momentarily. Okay.
All right. To be fair, as long as I sometimes take to actually post the show after recording it, it is conceivable that when people finally hear this, Apple TV Plus will have been rolled.
So we're recording October 23rd.
Yeah.
So that's T minus a week.
Yeah, I'm actually going to post it to this one today. I'm gonna like be all responsible and stuff. And it's supposed to Apple TV Plus comes on November 1st.
November 1st.
And what is it rolling with? Do we know that?
So it's rolling with multiple episodes of some of the big names shows that we've heard about. So we know, for instance, there's going to be 3 episodes of For All Mankind, which is the Rondé Moore, who wrote Battlestar Galactica. It's the kind of NASA, if the space race had never ended show.
Yep. Very excited about that one.
I'm obviously excited about that one because space.
Yep.
Sure. There is going to be what's it called? Morning Show.
I'm seeing Morning Show. I'm seeing C. LOL. See what I did there?
Yeah, C is going to be there. There's going to be 3 episodes of that, and then we're going to have that every Friday.
And what about Morning Show? Is that one being dumped?
I thought Morning Show is being dumped, but we may find out that that's another 3 shows, and then staggered as well. And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff. I think there's some kids shows going to be on there. The problem that Apple has basically is that they don't have the library to match Netflix, Disney Plus. So they're trying to do a bit of a, they're trying to balance dumping these shows with keeping people interested, because they want people to stay after their months of free subscription ends and stuff.
You know, let's talk about that, because
right.
Let's go back to the original. There's a whole lot about this I want to talk about, by the way. I know I was like, yeah, I think this might end up being a short episode, but I don't think it's going to be a short episode. You were right. So let's go back to the original, which was Netflix.
Yes.
And Netflix started off as this DVD rental service. And they,
what's a DVD?
Exactly. They brilliantly shifted to online rentals and then to a monthly.
Hey, Brian, you know something?
What?
There's still a Blockbuster. There's one.
Yeah, there is one. Yeah. Then they shifted to a subscription service. So you got like everything.
Sure.
And then they brilliantly foresaw, when no one else did, how consumers would pay for great quality original content. And they started doing their own shows, the first mega hit of which was House of Cards.
Yes, and still, even though we know that people will pay for high quality original content, are still spending orders of magnitude more on original content than we're led to believe Apple is.
Right. But when House of Cards was added, when their first shows were added, that essentially was a value add to getting access to all of the other stuff, right?
Yeah, everyone was like, why would I want to watch this? What do Netflix know about making TV shows? I want to watch the films and I want to know what films are on there and the TV series that I already know about.
But that was okay because Netflix wasn't charging you more to get the original content.
Right.
It was just a value add. And then, of course, over a very brief period of time, maybe a couple of years, 2 or 3 years at most, it shifted into Netflix being a powerhouse for mm-hmm. delivering original content. And that's really why people are actually paying for the monthly subscription. Now, the same thing can be applied to Hulu, right? Who started off with this back catalog?
You'll have to tell me, really, because we don't have Hulu here in the UK.
All right, so Hulu started off as a way of watching, of getting some network programming.
Right.
It was pretty lame in a lot of different ways. And if anything, there was like more commercials, and then they wanted to charge you money, and they wanted to charge you commercials too, or make you watch commercials too. And then couldn't necessarily get anything until after it had already aired. I quickly started ignoring Hulu because it seemed very clear that Hulu was set up to be what the networks wanted, because it was a network and studio owned service, as opposed to what I wanted as a subscriber. But then they added great original content too.
Such as?
Handmaid's Tale.
Ah.
Future Man is a show on Hulu.
I didn't realize Handmaid's Tale was Hulu over in the States.
It is. Yeah, it's a Hulu product.
So I think it's Sky over here, isn't it?
I do not know.
I would imagine it is.
There's Future Man. I would actually, I still intend to resubscribe to Hulu just to catch up on Future Man.
Yeah, it's a Sky product.
But again, the original content was a value add. And then Hulu also launched a sort of cable-like cord cutting thing where you could actually get different channels and stuff like that. But the original content was the value add. And then you've got things like CBS All Access, where some original content was a value add, and you had access to a back catalog. And then you've got Amazon Prime, mm-hmm. where Amazon has their value add of original content, but then there's this big, massive back catalog, almost like Netflix. And I'm sensing a theme here.
I mean, I have to say, I think actually it's just even slightly different with Amazon Prime. I think the thing with Amazon Prime was one day shipping, and the fact that you had some TV stuff was the value added. I think that shifted now.
But they separated.
But it started.
They separated but Amazon Prime Video out from Prime.
Yeah, but when it originally started, you get it all as a bundle.
Right, but today you can subscribe to Amazon Prime Video. And you're going to get stuff.
But I'm talking about when people first discovered those TV shows, they discovered them because they wanted one day shipping largely.
All right.
So I personally think it came from a slightly different place. But yes, I take your point that in all cases, the original content was a value added proposition. It's not what people were selling the service on.
Even Disney, which is going to be including some original content with Disney Plus, is that what it's called? Disney Plus?
Mm.
Has a massive back catalog of Disney properties.
Oh, that's its main selling point.
For a lot of people, yeah. I think the original content will be for some folks too.
For a lot of people, it's Princesses and Star Wars.
Sure. Especially people with kids and stuff. And Marvel too.
Sure. It's about people with kids, yeah. That's who's going to watch it.
Here we have Apple, though. And Apple is doing the original content only. It doesn't have the back catalog for you to sit there and watch when you're not watching the new stuff.
Mm.
And this does make it different than every other service that's come out. Peacock is going to have a bunch of other catalog stuff. HBO had a massive amount of back catalog original shows.
Yep.
To offer
Peacock's a really interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, Peacock. Yeah.
I'm annoyed about Peacock because it's meant I can't watch Will and Grace on Amazon Prime Video now.
Oh.
Yeah. And they've taken it off.
Yeah. Sorry about
Very
that.
Very annoying.
Sorry about that.
But I've been trying to work out if it's a very Apple way of doing things or a not very Apple way of doing things. Because obviously with iTunes, Apple didn't start a record label and produce its own music and only have Apple Music on via iTunes. Obviously with news and Apple Books, it's not publishing its own content. It's got partnerships and deals.
It's curating.
Exactly. Absolutely, that's what it's doing. So this is the only media platform it will be running in which it is creating the content. But it's also very Apple to decide that it has to have things of its own quality and caliber and that, you know, it's controlling the process from beginning to end. In that sense, it's a very Apple way of doing things, isn't it?
Yeah, but the question is...
What's the question, Brian?
The question is whether or not Apple can succeed with Apple TV Plus without having any back catalog, without having any anchor shows, no Friends, no Will and Grace, no Big Bang Theory, no Seinfeld, no nothing.
Well, we know the answer to this. The only way it can do that is if the shows are good enough. That is the only way. As Oprah keeps saying, it's in a billion pockets, y'all. They can get to people. They just have to make it so those billion people want to watch it.
Well, and that's a good point, because there's a significant subset of Apple customers who are likely to be inclined to try this.
But even if I wasn't a person who writes about Apple, likes Apple products, is a media nerd, cares about this stuff, I would be interested in watching the morning show, right?
Okay.
That looks like a show that I would enjoy.
Okay.
There are plenty of people that want to watch see because Jason Momoa, right?
Yeah.
There's, you know, Big Bird has appeared on Apple TV Plus events.
Ron Moore has a big following.
Right. People like Battlestar Galactica. I would want to watch For All Mankind. I'd be interested in that, even if I wasn't doing this job and following it. So there is enough, I think, to entice people. And I think in another way that it's a very Apple way to go about this is that we often talk about this, don't we, on the Daily Observations podcast. It's Apple has often lets people go first, doesn't it? It has let Netflix delve into original content to show it can work. It's let Amazon Prime Video do the same. It's seeing other platforms spring up, and now it's making its move.
Well,
that's a very Apple way to go about it, I think.
I'm going to quibble with that.
Well, go on. Okay. I mean, I'm right, but you can try.
Apple was trying years ago. We've been hearing about an Apple TV subscription service, an a la carte service, for 10 years.
Yeah, but then they made Planet of the Apps, Brian.
That's not the point. The point is that Apple was trying. Well, Apple, under Steve Jobs, Apple was seeing the future and seeing that cable was problematic, and that cable was not really meeting people's needs, and that mainly cable was able to succeed based on inertia. And Apple tried to put together an a la carte subscription service for years and years and years, and was stymied at every step by the studios and the networks, who didn't want to lose control of content the way that the record labels lost control of their customer experience because of iTunes.
Yeah.
Okay. And what we're seeing with Apple TV Plus is not Apple graciously letting the rest of the industry try some stuff out so that Apple can do it better. To me, Apple TV Plus is Apple saying, fine, you guys win. We still want to get some sweet subscription revenues based on content. So we're going to go ahead and enter this market in this particular way because you wouldn't let us enter in this other way.
I'm not sure. I think we're kind of saying the same thing, possibly in a different way. I think... So, yes, I agree that TV people have freaked out for far too long, possibly because they saw what happened with iTunes. And we know how Steve Jobs basically told the record labels, it's this way or you're going to die. And he was right.
He was right.
Because they would have died.
Yep. And the record labels never forgave him for that.
They never forgave him, but he was right, because piracy would have wiped them out.
But they never forgave Steve and Apple for saving them. They never forgave that. And it's the record labels in the studios who were darned, like there's no way we're going to let Apple save us. And to be fair, they didn't need saving the same way that the labels did, to be fair.
Okay, but I mean, TV piracy has been a big issue. And I would say subscription services have... I'd love to see figures for us. I don't know if you could ever get accurate ones. But I would say that TV piracy has dramatically reduced since these relatively low-cost subscription services have emerged.
Well, plus they're actually getting direct revenue. So when people are...
And they're getting direct revenue, exactly. They're not being ripped off and people are watching their product and they're getting the revenue and all the rest of it.
So the question, I guess, then... I struggled to come up with a question earlier, but is the faith that Apple's customer base puts in the company enough to help get this service off the ground, especially when they're launching with what? I mean, 20 episodes?
So I think it's more than that. We can do a bit of a 101 later in the show, but there's things like Dickinson as well. There's stuff there. There's going to be, I think all the episodes of Dickinson, for example, are going to be up there. So there's going to be stuff. I don't think it's about the faith we as customers and people who like Apple products put into the company. I think Apple has... adopted a very sensibly aggressive pricing strategy.
Yeah.
I think it has picked, serious big media names. I think to have Jamie Ehrlich and Zach Van Amberg leading your TV, those are, people outside of the kind of the Apple world don't really talk about them, but those are big names. And when it comes to putting on TV, they're not mucking around. For Apple to have hired them, they must really believe in the project themselves. Okay, they probably believe in the paycheck, but also, there must be some power behind this project. And, to have people like Oprah, to have Jennifer Aniston, to have Reese Witherspoon, to have Steven Spielberg, to have Rondé Moore, and on and on and on it goes. Like, there is serious power behind you. I think Apple's idea of having... a free subscription when you buy an iPhone. Get this stuff in front of people's eyeballs. I think Apple has realized that finally, and it's really important. And that I think that gives it some hope. I also think Apple has done things like, you wrote up that Apple had done a media page for all the Apple TV Plus content. It's starting to think a bit like a media company.
Yeah,
that's really important.
That. Plus the red carpet events, the premiere
exactly
events.
The premieres.
And by the way, it's one question I have. It's Apple TV Plus is the service, but the shows are Apple Originals. I feel like they should pick one.
does Netflix have different names? Isn't they call it well, Netflix?
Yeah, Netflix has its own production company.
And I mean, Apple's got a studio as well, hasn't it? No.
It's Apple Worldwide Video is the name of that division. That's, right. That's where...
No, but there's an original... There's a studio as well for... Because all the shows we've just mentioned were produced by studios externally for Apple exclusively. Whereas now there's going to be stuff produced by Apple, but in its own studio as well.
Yes. Yeah, Apple appears to be doing a mix of buying from the established industry and actually producing and filming its own material too.
Right, exactly, yeah. Again, that's like serious stuff. This is not just, oh, we're building a streaming platform, we're going to buy a few bits because we've got loads of money. And like, they're thinking like a media company now.
Or they have a portion of the company that's thinking like a media company.
So which is enough. When you're as big as Apple, that's enough. That's fine.
Well, that actually is the way it needs to be, because the iPhone sure. makers don't need to be thinking like a media company. The iPhone engineers
And frankly, you wouldn't want them to.
You would not want them to whatsoever. And you don't want the Hollywood folks, you don't want the content people thinking like iPhone engineers or designers.
No, it doesn't
make a lick of sense. And so Apple, despite its enormous revenues and being off and on again the world's most valuable company, has a remarkably small product line. And so far, like everything that Apple has been doing since the days of Apple Computer Incorporated have really sort of all been dovetailing, you know, together. iOS and, you know, macOS were like the same code base and they were split off. And, you know, Apple has a team that makes Macs and a team that makes iPhones, but there's a lot of sharing between them. There is the App Store is sort of a separate thing, but it's all connected. This is the first bit of real diversification from Apple. This is the first really new and separate industry that Apple is entering.
Yeah, I agree with that. Really. And I think actually it took them a really long time to realize that. So when we heard stories of Tim Cook sending notes and, you know, giving editorial feedback and that kind of thing, whether those kind of stories came out, didn't they, earlier on?
Yeah, but we don't know that stopped.
We don't. Well,
we have no indication whatsoever that stopped.
We have no indication it stopped, but we have indication that people have stopped complaining about it in public because we haven't heard about it recently.
Which isn't necessarily the same thing as it not happening.
It's not the same thing as it's not happening.
Like, Tim Cook needs to keep his nose out of the
correct
the content.
But whatever the reality is, the situation where it's causing a problem big enough that people are complaining about it in public appears to have been fixed.
Yes. Okay. Now, I agree with that statement.
Whether that's just because everyone's playing nice for the launch.
Or because they were threatened.
Or because everyone lost their temper. We don't know. We're not going to waste time speculating. But in public, that problem at this moment appears to have been fixed. And that, I think, is a good sign and very indicative of Apple not lessening control, because, lol, that's never happening. But Apple realizing that it's in a different place and that it needs to think differently as it enters this new industry.
That's what we don't have any evidence to support. We don't know that's what happened. Because there's a difference between fixing the problem of people complaining about it. There is conceivably a difference between fixing the problem and actually changing your ways.
Yes, that is it. Yeah, I know what you're saying, and it's a very, very fair point. But if it was such a huge problem, I'm sure we would still hear issues. And those issues in public, like I say, appear to have gone away.
No. I disagree with that, Charlotte. If if Apple TV Plus tanks, we'll hear about this stuff.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, that's true.
Because everybody's going to want to, you know, point fingers and share blame.
And you're right. Sort of if no one likes For All Mankind, Rondi Moore is going to say, well, Apple told me to do this. Yeah, you're right.
This is not the way I wanted to do it.
Yeah. That for sure is happening.
Yeah. He actually sent me a note telling me to be nicer. What is that about?
Yeah. If the morning show is a bit weak, well, they told me we couldn't be that harsh. Yeah.
But I think that's
right. And if it's all a bit tame, everyone's going to say it's Apple kind of dumbing down content. I think that is fair. But to the same extent, they have presented themselves like a professional media company. They have. From the trailers, which have been slick, from the red carpet events and the premieres, which have all looked really good, all of that stuff, there is no question, has been successful by any reasonable criteria.
And separating, I do think it was very important to separate a newsroom. You know, like most companies that are large, I'll get this out somehow. Most large companies have different press rooms for the different aspects of their companies. And we're talking about companies that are bringing in a fraction of the revenue, a very tiny fraction of the revenues that Apple brings in. And Apple has always had the one press room. And I do think it was very important for Apple to separate the media stuff so that the Hollywood press doesn't have to, as I put it before, doesn't have to like wade through all those, you know, like gross things about Macs and processors and iPhones and coprocessors and metal and, you know, not having to go through any of that stuff. Although
the pretty pictures of the premieres and stuff still gone on the main Apple press page.
Well, that's a good point. The Apple TV Plus press room, which again says Apple Originals in the tab, right? I find that weird, but whatever. It is only, it's like the IMDb for Apple shows, sort of. It's not showing the premiere stuff. It's not showing the interviews and the...
Yet. I mean, I don't know if they're going to start compiling that as the service goes live. It'll be interesting to see what they do on the day of the launch. Mm-hmm. And you can be sure I'll be refreshing happily. But I guess what they want also, you've got to look at it the other way, is they want the tech press to be interested in Apple TV Plus as well.
Do you really think so?
So, yeah. I mean, I guess the tech press is always going to be interested in anything Apple does. But I guess they've got to keep everyone happy a bit. So there's a bit of a flutting your eyes at everyone going on at the moment.
Well, I think we got a preview of that from the It's Showtime event, where the tech press whined about how it went on too long and there was, you know, too many stars on stage and everyone completely oblivious that they weren't the target market for this. I don't know that Apple gives two craps about the tech press being interested in Apple TV Plus. I don't think the tech press is going to sell subscriptions.
Ooh, I don't know. So it's been very noticeable, for example, that obviously we've been doing phenomenal coverage of Apple TV Plus on the Mac Observer, but there's some other places that have done some decent coverage as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, okay.
So, and some of those places have been like Deadline and Variety and The Hollywood Reporter. So maybe you're right. Maybe that was where Apple cares about. You know, it wasn't, Wired that Jennifer Aniston was on the front cover of, was it?
No, Wired could possibly sell some.
Maybe Wired's not a good example, actually, but it's not, you know what I'm talking about. It's not.
But I think having Jennifer Aniston on Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon is far more important than the morning show getting an article on TechCrunch.
Right. Definitely. For sure. No question about it.
I mean, it. You know, TechCrunch didn't make Netflix or Amazon Prime Video.
No, totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. And yeah, and you know, having what was the cover? She was on Variety, wasn't she? Was it Hollywood Reporter that Jennifer Aniston was on the front of? You know, one of the big Hollywood publications.
Right.
And that, it was Variety, wasn't it? And that's really what's important. And actually Wired has a fantastic rundown, which I wrote up on the Mac Observer, of what's going on kind of in the studios at Apple TV Plus. In the Hollywood studios, and it particularly focused on that for All Mankind. Mm. Apple, like everyone else, has to still lease its studios, by the way, which is kind of fun.
Has what? Say it again.
It still has to lease its studios, just like all the other Hollywood companies.
Huh.
They could buy it. I mean, they could buy whatever they want, but they're still leasing their studios just like everyone else.
Huh.
Which is kind of... It's kind of funny, isn't it?
It's kind of interesting. Yeah, this is a company that regularly here in Silicon Valley is buying up every piece of property that it possibly can, looking for future expansion.
Yeah, and has just bought a massive, or at least a massive piece of property here in London.
For what aspect of Apple?
I believe Andrew wrote this up on Macazo, but I believe it was Apple Card, which, given it was in the city of London, would make perfect sense.
Sure.
So the point is Apple can buy whatever it wants, and that like like the Hollywood newcomer it is leasing its property.
Yeah. And to close this up with your original point.
Mm.
Apple is demonstrating that it is willing to change its I'm not quite sure how to put this. Apple has always basically been like, well, we have our way of doing things.
Yes.
And you know, screw you if you don't get that. And sometimes that doesn't work. For instance, its forays into social media with Ping. And with the Apple Artist Connect, right? Those were services, although Artist Connect should have worked. Ping would have worked, I think, if Facebook hadn't blocked Apple, if Steve had actually asked permission to use Facebook's APIs before launching it. But that's not even the point. The point is that Apple has always been very much we know the right way to do everything. We're going to do things our way. LOL, if you don't get that, move out of the way, etc. And with the shows, it has shown a selective adaptability that will likely behoove it.
I don't think we want to go too much down this path, but I think adaptability, not a word you would necessarily associate with Steve Jobs, perhaps, has been one of the more positive aspects of Tim Cook's leadership of Apple. I think that would... on a lot of occasions.
Steve bent the entire music industry to his will, which is...
Yeah, he wasn't adaptable, though. He made everyone else be adaptable. That's my point.
Correct. And to be fair, we didn't really see any instances of that not working out for him, at least not that have come to light. And
sure.
I think the thing is that Tim does not have that ability to bend the world to his will. So instead, Tim is being a little bit more adaptable. I don't want Apple to become more adaptable when it comes to choosing the best technologies for its products. That's not an area where I want Apple to be more adaptable.
No, and also perhaps, again, an issue we don't want to disappear down the rabbit warren of discussing, but for instance, has Tim Cook been too adaptable, for example, with things in China and the Chinese authorities and that kind of thing?
Right.
Mm.
Hey, I don't like doing the what would Steve do, but there are times when I want to do the what would Steve do.
Yeah, but just I think probably just to wrap up kind of where we are on Apple TV Plus, We know it's coming November 1st, which is exciting. What it's I'm kind of not totally clear what we're getting, but there's some things we know we've got. So do you want a little bit of a rundown of what I think we're getting when it launches?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, hold on, though. First, before we get to that, let's take a moment out and talk about Molecular, my sponsor for the week. It's Molecule with a K. I love my Molecule air purifiers a lot. They are using something that they call PICO technology. That's photoelectrochemical oxidation. And what this is designed to do is to not just collect air pollutants, but to destroy them on a molecular level. HEPA filters haven't been updated in 70 years. 70 years. They collect larger pollutants, to be sure, but smaller ones like viruses and volatile organic chemicals, VOCs, can slip right through. While they may seem small, these tiny particles are a big deal to allergy and asthma sufferers. Molecule uses breakthrough science to break down these pollutants on a molecular level. Now, I got my molecules. I know I've told this story a few times, but it's important to me because I was worried about fire season a couple of years ago when I got my first molecule. And I have been delighted that I had it, especially when we had huge fires pouring smoke into Silicon Valley last summer. And I'm happy that they're in my home, keeping my air pure. It's fantastic. Air purification for the whole home. Molecule now offers the company's breakthrough PICO technology across a range of products, providing a solution for the entire home when it comes to air purification. Whether you need a Molecule Air for large rooms or the Molecule Air Mini for smaller rooms, you can now choose the unit that's best for your space, or create a bundle to provide an air purification solution for your entire home. And because you're listening to the Apple Context Machine, you can get 10% off of your first air purifier order. All you have to do is visit molecule.com, that's M-O-L-E-K-U-L-E.com, and enter ACM10 at checkout. That's ACM10 at checkout to get 10% off of your first air purifier order. Now, one more time, that's molecule.com, M-O-L-E-K-U-L-E.com. Enter ACM10 at checkout to get 10% off of your first purifier order. Okay, great. Now, pick it up. You were going to start telling us about what to expect.
So we're definitely getting 3 episodes of C. That's kind of set in the distant future. The world has been ravaged by a virus, and everyone is blind apart from 2 children, twins born to Jason Momoa, and they are somehow born with the ability to see, hence the title.
And drama ensues. But
a queen wants to kill them, and so on and so forth. We're also getting, I think, a dump of the entirety of Dickinson, which is a comedy series about the poet.
It's a comedy?
Yeah, it's meant to be funny.
Huh. I did not realize that.
Yeah. It's meant to be Dickinson's meant to be comedy.
I thought it was a drama.
No. It's meant to be funny, Brian.
And that's starring Hailee Steinfeld, Toby Huss.
Hailee Steinfeld as Emily Dickinson, yeah. It's about her obsession with living or dying, which apparently was a common theme in the Victorian era.
Indeed, it was. What is Jane Krakowski playing?
I
mean, she's listed as a star, and I ever see her in any of the images.
No, I've not seen much about her, so I'm not sure which character she'll be. Oh, sorry, I do. She's her mother. She's Mrs. Dickinson.
Okay, that makes sense.
She will be the mother.
Yeah.
We are also going to see, as we've discussed, the morning show.
Yeah. Do we know how much of that we're getting?
I think we're getting the whole lot, but I might be wrong about that. So Andrew has posted up a while back, we got a trailer for The Elephant Queen.
Yeah.
We've also got Oprah's book club.
Okay.
And that is going to be... It's going to start with Ta-Nehisi Coates is the water dancer. I think actually the cleverness of Oprah's book club is actually been rather undone. She's also doing... She's going to be doing a show on mental health with Prince Harry as well, but that's not going to be in November. That's coming later.
Yeah, she's doing quite a few shows.
They're obviously going to use her extensively, but the work she's doing with Prince Harry will be at a later date.
So Helpsters is a Muppety puppety thing. I don't know if it's
yeah,
a
that's
Jim Henson's
one of the kids'
product.
Shows. There's Snoopy in space as well. I think we can expect that right at the beginning.
Yeah, probably.
I've seen trailers for that. I've seen trailers for that.
Yeah, it's listed on. I believe everything that's on the main Apple TV Plus webpage is coming on opening day, and that would include Snoopy in space. That would include Truth Be Told. That would include Servant, Hala. Snoopy in Space, Ghost Rider, Helpster, and then the other shows we talked about.
So, which is quite a lot, really.
Not really.
I think that's pretty impressive. Obviously, what they're really trying to avoid is people binge-watching one thing, going, oh, I quite fancy watching The Morning Show with Jennifer Aniston, so I'll binge watch that for a month for my free subscription, and then I'm not going to renew it. That's what they're desperate to avoid.
Yeah.
Did you mention Ghost Rider? There's Ghost Rider. There's Ghost Rider's coming.
Another kid's show. I don't know that...
I suppose it's only a 7-day trial, isn't it?
I think that Netflix and then Amazon and then Hulu stumbled on something really good when they allowed us to watch an entire series when we wanted to, as opposed to waiting for it. And I hope that Apple, at the very least... What are you banging away at?
Oh, sorry. I was just looking up something. I was typing something.
I hope that Apple, at the very least, does a mix of releasing entire series and spacing them out. Because I do appreciate being able to sit down over a week or two or a few days if I'm being obsessive and watching a show. Watching it like a long movie.
Yeah, I think that's definitely what it looks like they're doing. So the other thing I think we should remind listeners of, if you just bought a lovely shiny new iPhone 11, iPhone 11 Pro, this is all free for you.
Yeah. And that's a very key, I was so convinced.
Other devices too, a new iPad, new Macs. If you've bought a new device recently, you're getting that subscription for free.
Yeah, one of the main devices, iPad, iPhone, and Mac. Not like just buying a new Apple Watch is not going to get you a free.
No, basically, if you can watch, the way I think about it is if you can watch Apple TV Plus on the device, you get it free.
Wait, do you get it with a Apple TV subscription, a purchase too?
Because
I don't think you do.
I wouldn't have thought so. Apple I think TV it's Plus. Mac phone and iPad. iPod Touch. And actually, no, sorry, Apple TV as well.
Yeah.
iPhone, it is, iPad, yeah. Apple TV, Mac, or iPod Touch.
Apple TV for sure, though, right? I'm looking. We're making sausage here.
Apple TV, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
Any of those devices that were bought after September the 10th, you got an Apple TV Plus for free.
I mean, I think Apple TV starts at $199.
Yep.
We'll check this out. Apple TV. I think it starts at $199 these days, although that might be the 4K one I'm checking. $179 for a 4K, $199 for the 64 gig.
Mm.
And what about not 4K? Apple TV HD starts at $149. So if you're, you know, $5 a month over the course of the year is $60. That essentially means that you know, like almost 50% of your Apple TV is being paid for just from that free subscription. And I wonder if Apple's going to continue this next year. That's going to be very interesting. Apple has not said, like, is this a thing from now on? Or
I'd be very surprised.
Is this just this first year?
Well, maybe next year. They want to get some numbers up, but I would be surprised. This can't go on indefinitely because they simply need to start making revenue from it. The whole point of moving into services is to create another revenue stream.
Yep, exactly.
So it's a very, very smart idea for now. I totally get why they're doing it now. I think it's really smart because you need people to see the content. You need people to want it and to see it's good. Or maybe you could do it once. Maybe you get 1 year of free subscription, whatever.
But you got to pay for
it. You know, per iTunes account. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There might be a way of doing it.
The reality is, like, if I'm buying a $2,000 Mac, Apple giving me $60 in services over the first year, that's pretty inconsequential in terms of the overall price. Now, Apple doing it for Apple TV is a little bit, that's obviously a much different value proposition. And the same thing is true for, you know, an iPod Touch or even an entry-level iPad. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do in a year for that. I'm guessing that a lot of it will depend on how many subscribers they have and what's the actual engagement.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Apple's going to have tens of millions of people just over the course of the next few months who are eligible for that free year.
Yeah. I would be amazed if someone who buys a new iPhone every year will basically permanently get Apple TV Plus for free. I'd be amazed. That's not happening for the like long-term future.
And I am hesitant to say what is or isn't happening on that in that regard because I was convinced that Apple TV Plus was going to be a $20 a month
service. Yeah, yeah. because we all said it was going to be, and we also said there was going to be a bundle.
Well, there could still be a bundle.
There could still be, but we haven't heard about one yet.
But, you know, when you look at Apple Music and it's $10 a month, I'm thinking, well, you know, original shows, I'm sure it's going to be $20 a month. So I'm hesitant to make any predictions on the pricing front.
Apple News is still $9.99 a month.
All right, so let's get to the bottom line.
Okay.
Apple TV Plus, do you think it's going to be a winner?
Do I dare bet against Apple? Yes.
Yes, you dare bet against Apple, or yes, it'll be a success? No.
Yes, it will be a success. If they can find a way, if they can do enough to combat subscription fatigue, they can get enough people in, they can make it the content looks like it can be good enough to make it a success.
Yep, I agree with that too. I agree with that assessment. I think that Apple TV Plus will be a winner, and it's probably going to be one of the major players in the original content space.
Yeah.
You heard it here. All right. So on that happy note, Charlotte, this is what we do. And that is this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment, make sure you drop us a note over at MacObserver.com/Context Machine. Actually, I think that'll take you to the Facebook group. Charlotte, thanks for joining us.
Total pleasure. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, yeah. Good times. I appreciate you bringing all the information to this particular episode. Now, our bandwidth is provided by CashFly, the basis by Boom. That was recorded just for TMO. And that is all for this week. See you next week for the next episode.